If you brought your Bibles, why don't you open with me to the book of James, James chapter 5. I'm going to give you two places, James chapter 5 and Mark chapter 11. You can put a bookmark in Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start in James chapter 5. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody's good? I wasn't sure if I was going to continue with my series, This Crooked Generation. We've spent 5 weeks talking about things that are at the top of the list in terms of cultural conversations, relevant conversations. Last week, I preached on sex and gender. And if you missed last Sunday, I want to encourage you to go online. It's on our website. I want to encourage you to listen because I believe that it's a message that needs to be spoken into our world in this time. I had a few other thoughts about some other issues or topics that I might touch on, but I just sensed the Lord put a pause on my heart and gave me a different word to speak to you today. And so if the last several weeks, if you felt like they were more head-level messages dealing with intellect and reason and some history from a biblical perspective, you could say this morning is more of a heart-focused message. Sometimes I feel like my assignment is to teach and to educate. This morning, I believe that I have one assignment from the Lord, and that is to encourage you. How many of you in the room could stand for some encouragement? I don't know what your life looks like right now. I don't know what your work life looks like, what your home life looks like, what your family life looks like, what challenges you're facing, what relational challenges, money challenges, mental health challenges, physical health challenges, financial challenges, spiritual challenges, neighbor challenges, in-law challenges, pastor challenges. Well, you don't have any of those, so. I don't know what you're going through right now, but here's what I do know. God is good. And no matter what it is that you're in the midst of, you and I serve a faithful God who wants to help you in whatever it is that you're going through. So I don't know what it is that you're going through today, but I do know that you're going through something. And whatever it is, God is with you, and God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? You and I serve a faithful God, and He wants to move and intervene in your life. He wants to direct you and lead you and provide for you and heal you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to care for you. He wants to be a father and a friend and a savior to you. And so I want to instill some faith into the house this morning. I want faith to rise up in your heart this morning. As I was in prayer earlier this week, I felt the Lord whispered this phrase into my heart, and I knew it wasn't just for me, it was for the church. Here it is. This is what I heard. Your victory may be just a prayer away. Who's excited about our new projector, by the way? The projector's not excited for it. It didn't like me drawing attention to it. Your victory may just be a prayer away. I was in prayer this week during prayer meeting. Some of you were with me Wednesday. During prayer meeting, the Lord whispered this into my heart. Your victory may just be a prayer away. You say, Pastor Tim, I've been praying for this, whatever this is, for years. I've prayed countless times. I've been praying with my life group. I've been praying with my family. I've been praying. We've been praying as a church. You see, what tends to happen is the longer that we have time between the prayer and the answer to the prayer, what happens is our faith tends to do this. The longer we go between the prayer and the answer to prayer, the more that our faith, our hope, starts to decline and decrease. We might still pray because we believe that God is faithful and God wants us to pray and God answers prayer, but if we're honest, sometimes, we're just going through the motions. We pray, but we've somewhere along the lines lost our faith that God will actually answer our prayers. When I pray with my kids, I want to make sure that they understand the importance of faith when they pray. If you want daddy to pray for you because your stomach hurts or you had a bad dream or you're in pain or whatever, then you better be believing God with me when I pray. This isn't time just for you to listen to daddy's faith. This is time for you to use your faith. And when I say amen, you say amen. Oh, if my kids want me to pray, I don't let them off the hook. If I'm going to say amen, if there's silence afterwards, they're kind of smiling. Daddy prayed for me. I say, and you say, amen. Amen, daddy. Amen. Because amen means so be it. Prayer, come into existence in Jesus' name. Whatever I've just prayed, I'm inviting this to happen in my life. Here's what James 5:16 says. If you've got your Bibles, James 5:16, I'm going to just look at this one verse. It's the second half of verse 16. This is the New Living Translation. I love this translation. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Doesn't that sound good? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Wonderful results. Sometimes I know that when we read this verse, we immediately disqualify ourselves from seeing this kind of prayer because we say, well, there's a righteous person there. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Well, that's not me. I'm not righteous. But this is not talking about someone who is righteous because they've made themselves holy or perfect. This is someone who is righteous because they've been made righteous by Jesus Christ. The word righteous is a legal term. It means someone who's right or judicially approved by God. In the eyes of God, you have been made right. Not because of your hard work, not because of all of your efforts, but because of all that Jesus Christ has done for you. So this is how we can make this verse personal. This is what I wrote down. I wrote this down on a cue card. Kept this with me in my pocket as often as I could this week. Here's what it says. My earnest prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. Say that with me. My earnest prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. Come on, church. When you pray, you ought to have this attitude. When I pray, God listens. When I pray, heaven moves. When I pray, God sends angels to do what I just said. Come on, we ought to have faith in our hearts when we pray. That our God is not a God who's inviting us into a relationship with Him just so that we can speak with Him. That He's a God who wants us to pray so that He could actually answer our prayers. So let me ask you this morning. What are you praying for? What are you believing God for right now? What is it that is on your prayer list? The more we pray, the more God shows up. When Christine and I started praying about her coming on staff here, one thing we were sure of was that we needed to pray. We needed the wisdom of God. This was not something we'd ever planned, something we ever thought would happen. She was investing herself as a teacher. But the more we prayed, the more God confirmed. He was calling her. He was calling us to a step of faith. When you pray, church, do you believe your prayers are powerful and produce wonderful results? Come on, you ought to have a posture of confidence when you pray. I pray and I get wonderful results. Would you like me to pray for you? I pray really well. You ought to have that confidence when you got a family member in need and they're talking about their issue, their whatever it is. Would you like me to pray for you? I get really good results. My God loves me. And when I pray, heaven listens. You with me? Mark 11, if you're there. Mark 11. We're going to spend some time here this morning. Mark 11, 12. This is right after the triumphal entry. Jesus is just riding in on a donkey. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We've just seen that happen. Now verse 12, let's read. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. How many of you can relate to Jesus? I love it when Jesus was hungry. I can relate to that. Verse 13, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Okay, so previous day was triumphal entry. Okay, Jesus had just ridden in on a donkey. People were welcoming him into Jerusalem by putting down palm branches, taking off their cloaks and their outer clothing, placing it on the ground, because they did not want the donkey that Jesus rode on, that donkey's feet to touch the ground. Like, you can sense the reverent worship and awe of Jesus in this moment. I don't even want the donkey's feet that Jesus is riding on to touch the dirt. So I'm going to put my cloak underneath the feet of a donkey. And they cried out, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, contrast that beautiful picture of anointed worship. And the very next three verses, Jesus is talking to a fig tree. Anybody else read the Bible and sometimes you're just struck with the fact that Jesus seems a little bit odd? Odd. That's not blasphemous. I'm just saying seems a little bit strange. Like, you're talking to a tree. And it's almost like the tree was the one who said something first, because it says that he answered the tree. Jesus talks to trees. Okay. All right. What's this about? The fig tree is a symbol of Israel. Let me talk to you a little bit about this moment. Fig trees, even if it's not the season for figs, to have fully grown figs, that's what Mark's account tells us. It was not the season for fully grown figs. But on a fig tree, there's what's called pre-figs or baby figs. So before the full-grown figs come, you're supposed to see something there that's showing you that there's going to be a full-grown fig to come. There's a baby fig. There's a pre-fig that's growing. Jesus is hungry. He goes expecting to find the sign of growth, the sign of preparation, that something is happening in the fig tree, but he sees nothing there. So remember, the fig tree is a picture. It's a symbol of Israel. So when Jesus is rebuking the fig tree, this isn't Jesus just losing his cool. This isn't Jesus having a temper tantrum and taking out some built-up anger on a tree. You and I do that kind of a thing. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus is using this as an opportunity to rebuke Israel, because just like the fig tree wasn't preparing itself for the season of figs, Israel wasn't preparing itself for the season of the Messiah. So this isn't Jesus having some moment where we need to then send him to anger management classes. Jesus didn't curse at the fig tree to show us how mighty and powerful he was, and he didn't curse a fig tree to show us how powerful his words are. Jesus' words to the fig tree, which fall under the category of prayer, and we're going to see that in a moment, they were spoken to show us that prayer must be attached to divine purpose. Let me say that again. Prayer must be attached to divine purpose. You say, why is it, Pastor Tim, that my prayers haven't been answered? Okay, well, maybe, just maybe. This is just one possibility. Maybe your prayers aren't attached to divine purpose. They're just attached to yours. There's a chance. Come on, anybody else prayed a prayer that was just all for my purposes and plans and maybe not for God's? Jesus didn't curse the fig tree because of his own personal anger towards the tree that didn't give him a snack. If that was the case, which most people don't know what to do with this fig tree, if that was the case, this is how we should apply this verse today. Next time you find yourself at Wendy's and they are all out of chocolate Frosties, I curse you in Jesus' name. May no man eat a Frosty herein forevermore. I know that's what your flesh is, because it really is a crime for Wendy's to run out of Frosties. Let's talk about that for a moment. That just shouldn't happen. That's not the point of the text. So let's keep reading. Okay, Jesus cleanses the temple. That's the next passage from 15 to 19. Let's jump back into the story with the tree in verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, okay, so this is the next day, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to them, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Okay, so the day before, the disciples witnessed, they saw him and they heard him curse this tree. They saw it with their own eyes. Strange moment. But nobody talks about it. The disciples don't bring it up. It just says that they overheard Jesus saying this, but nobody had the courage to say, Jesus, what are you doing? You want to unpack your little moment with the tree here for us? Is there something that you want to let us in on? Nobody, none of the disciples asked about it. They just thought, well, let's just leave that alone. But the next day, as they're going back, they pass by the same tree, and they see that the tree is now dead. It's withered up. And so Peter, brave, brave, bold Peter, he draws attention to it. He says, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. So he's thinking back on what Jesus said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And he's looking, and he's thinking back at what Jesus says. He's looking, he's thinking back on what Jesus said, and he's looking. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing, it worked! It worked! Come on, have you ever prayed for something and then it actually happened? And you're just thinking back about the prayer and then you're looking at reality and you're thinking back and you're like, it worked! Praise God! It worked! Come on, have you ever been surprised that your prayers actually work? Don't pretend you're so holy. I just knew that this was going to happen. No, you were surprised! It worked. When I look back at my own life, at every good thing that I have and every good thing that's happened to me, I believe I prayed for all of it. From my education, being accepted into Brock, going on doing my master's at Tyndale in Toronto, I prayed. God put me there. I prayed for God's favor and help in my schooling. I prayed for every promotion that I've received. I was promoted to a supervisor position at Arby's. When I was 15 years old, they had to look up the labor laws to find out if I was old enough to be a supervisor. I was promoted to a manager position at Rainforest Cafe when I was 18. I wasn't legal drinking age, but I was telling the bartenders what to do. I was promoted to lead pastor of this church almost 9 years ago when I was 25 years old. I prayed for each one of those. Starting when I was a teenager, I prayed to God for a godly wife. A really godly and a really good-looking wife. Gotta be specific when you pray. We prayed for our house that we live in today, our three children. We prayed for each of those. Come on, you can do this yourself. Look back at your life. Prayed for that. Prayed for that. Prayed for that. Prayed for that. At the beginning of this year, it was so strong on my heart to pray over the finances of this church. I wasn't thinking about it, just dropped into my heart. Pray over the finances. Coming into COVID, we had experienced year over year of growth as a church in terms of numbers, in terms of finances. We were growing over 10% every year for 5 years in a row. And then COVID. I'm sure somebody's already written a book that's called And Then COVID. .. And we've been doing well as a church. There's been continued faithfulness throughout these 2+ years to the point that by the end of 2020, the first 9 months that we were in the midst of lockdowns and shutdowns, this church paid off its debt and burned the mortgage on this building. We took 2021 and some of 2022 to renovate our worship center right here, paid cash for it all to the glory of God. And so God's hand has been upon us over these last few years, but we have seen our giving go down overall since March of 2020. So we went 5 years in a row, growth, 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 and then COVID. And so the Lord put it on my heart, start praying for finances. Start praying over the finances of this church. So I've been praying, making a point of declaring this phrase that God gave me. Years ago, he said this, to speak this over this church. This church will never decrease, it will only increase. This church will never decrease, it will only increase. So I've been declaring it intentionally throughout this year. God, I'm believing this year will be a year where we see things turn around financially. since COVID, things down, just a little bit down. So from growth to a little bit down. Well, I'm thrilled to say we just had a board meeting this week, and for the first time since March of 2020, our finances have increased. Our treasurer was given the financial update, and as soon as he paused there at the numbers, I started doing this. Come on, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We're not back to where we were before COVID. We got lots of church family who haven't come back, but we got a whole lot of new people in the room too. And we praise the Lord for all that he's done. So I can relate to Peter as he's standing here staring at a withered fig tree going, "It worked! I prayed for that! I prayed for that." Church, it's a privilege to partner with God through prayer and to look back and go, "I prayed for that." Not to make much of me, but to make much of God, that he would use me. He would use me. I'm here to tell you today, church, prayer works. I'm here to tell you today, faith works. My earnest prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. We need to have this attitude and this mindset when we pray. God listens. When I pray, hell trembles and heaven moves. When I pray, the sick get healed. When I pray, family relationships are blessed. When I pray, those who are struggling around me find freedom. When I pray, come on, church. Here's the thing. You don't pray in your name, you pray in Jesus' name. Is that right? So far too many of us in the church, far too many of us have low expectations when it comes to prayer because we think that the results of prayer depend upon the person who's praying. Pastor, I'm a broken person. Join the club. Pastor, I have struggles. Join the club. Pastor, I've made so many mistakes. I know, and Jesus still loves you. You don't pray in your name. If you pray in your name, I'd rebuke you. I'd correct you and confront you and challenge you. That's wrong. I don't pray in my name. I pray in Jesus' name. So I'm not talking about the power of your words with your lips and your name. I'm talking about the power of faith-filled words spoken in the anointed name of Jesus. Listen to how Jesus responds to Peter. Okay? So Peter's saying, "It worked, it worked. Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered." Verse 22, and Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God." In other words, the only reason that you are so surprised that this fig tree actually responded to my words is because you don't have faith in God. Now, people get real uncomfortable in the church if it's even inferred or implied that someone may not have gotten their prayer answered because they lacked faith. This is a big no-no in church culture. And yet, can I just preach the Bible to you? Jesus did it all the time. All the time. When the disciples are in a boat with Jesus, there's a big storm. You remember this? Jesus is taking a nap in the midst of the storm. And they wake him up. "Jesus, don't you care about us? We're all going to die." And Jesus rebukes them. Before he rebukes the wind and the waves, he rebukes them. He says, "Why are you so afraid?" Matthew 8:26. "You have so little faith." Jesus' disciples saw miracles happen as they prayed for the sick and they cast out demons. But there was this one boy who was possessed with a demon, and the demon would not leave when they prayed. The disciples said, "Why couldn't we save this boy?" Because Jesus prayed for him and the demon left. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 17:20, "Because of your little faith." When Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, the scripture records that Jesus was not able to do many mighty miracles there because of their lack of, fill in the blank, faith. Now, we do need to be careful, and we do need to be sensitive, and we should not point our finger at someone and tell them that they did not get their prayers answered because they lacked faith. Did everybody hear me clearly? Do not ever point your fingers at somebody else and tell them that they did not get their prayer answered because they lacked faith. But the reason why we cannot do that is because we are not God. And we don't know. But God knows. And so Jesus was allowed to look into people's hearts and say, let me tell you, son, daughter, the reason why you did not get your prayer answered is because you did not have faith. So we don't get to play that card. We don't get to make that accusation. So put your wagging Christian judgmental finger back in your pocket. Amen. However, I believe we need to be bold enough and willing to say there is a strong correlation between our faith and our prayers being answered. It's all through the Bible that you place your faith in God when you pray. Here Jesus says to Peter, have faith in God. Listen to what Jesus says. Let's keep reading. Truly I say to you, verse 23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes that whatever he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. So they're looking at the fig tree. It worked, it worked, it worked. Jesus says, have faith in God. If you had faith in God, then you would see the same kind of results as we see in this fig tree. And then Jesus looks around, I'm adding here, but I think there was a mountain in the distance. We don't know that, but I can just picture Jesus. He sees the fig tree, and it's this small little thing. And he's looking around for the biggest, heaviest, strongest thing he can find. See that mountain over there? You could use the same amount of faith, and you could speak to that mountain and tell the mountain to move. You think it's strange talking to trees? Come on, come on, come on. People are going to think you're strange when you talk to mountains. He says, you could use the same thing on that mountain over there. If you tell that mountain to be taken up and thrown into the sea, if you have faith in your heart, if you don't doubt, if you believe that whatever you say will come to pass, again, it's got to be attached to divine purpose, not because you're just having fun. You're not having a rock-throwing contest, okay? This isn't a track and field competition for Christians. Who can move the rock the farthest? It's got to be attached to divine purpose, okay? Jesus says this, it'll come to pass. My earnest prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. My earnest prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. You say, well, Pastor Tim, I just have trouble believing that my prayers are powerful and can produce wonderful results because I'm just little old me. Well, I'm not talking about little old you. I'm talking about big old him. Church, your prayers don't rest on your shoulders. They rest on God's shoulders. And God is big and mighty and strong and able and willing to move in your life. You say, I just don't know how to pray. I'm so glad you're here. Can I help you? Can I help you? People struggle to know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. Pastor Tim, I just don't know how to pray like you. Why would you pray like me? Pray like you. Let me help you. Can I give you 6 words? Heavenly Father, and then dot, dot, dot. You say whatever you want to pray for. Heavenly Father, dot, dot, dot. In Jesus' name, amen. Why is nobody writing this down? That's it. That's it. We make things so complicated. Yeah, Pastor Tim, I just don't know if I'm praying long enough or if I'm praying loud enough. Some people pray loud when they pray, right? Maybe God only hears certain decibels. Do I have to shout? Do I have to dance? Do I have to get excited? Or do I need to be silent? Do I need to be somber? I remember being in a devotions class when I was, 7, 8 years old. And my devotions teacher, God bless her soul, said, you can't pray. You can't pray unless you're on your knees. You can't pray. And her heart was so good. She wanted us to revere the Lord and honor him and find ourselves in a posture of prayer. It's beautiful. Pray on your knees. But you can pray skipping down the sidewalk. You can pray on your way up a roller coaster ride. How many of you have done that before? You don't need to be in this building. Come on, you can be anywhere. anywhere. The only time that Jesus had anything to say with how long your prayers needed to be in order to get your prayers answered was in the context of rebuking the Pharisees because they felt they had to pray for so long for God to answer their prayer. If anything, God prefers short prayers. It's a joke. It's a joke, okay? But the only time he never rebuked somebody. You didn't pray for long enough. If you would have just prayed for 30 more seconds, man, I would have shown up. The silly ideas that we have. But what you'll find when you read the Bible and you listen to Jesus and Peter and Paul and John and Luke is here's the one thing you need when you pray. Faith. I trust Jesus, I trust Jesus, I trust Jesus. And our faith in God, our faith in his faithfulness leads to answered prayers. Our faith in his faithfulness leads to answered prayers. Just over a week ago, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And we took the time, I took the time to preach on abortion about 3 or 4 weeks ago or so, and had a whole conversation about this. And Roe v. Wade, I'm sure you know what it is. January 22nd, 1973, provided federal approved abortion access all across the United States. And since that day, for nearly 50 years, the church has been praying. And God just answered prayer. And while many are proclaiming that we've gone back in time in a bad way because of this decision, because people view this as a women's right issue, this is not a women's right issue. This is about a human life issue and protecting those who are most vulnerable and most innocent among us. So while the world is proclaiming we've gone back in time, the church is saying, it worked! God answers prayer. And we pray that the same would take place in Canada so that we could protect the most innocent among us. You know what grieves my heart is not when the world doesn't believe in change, but when the church doesn't believe in change. Oh, Pastor Tim, I mean, things are just never going to get that good. Oh, well, thank you for your tremendous faith. Come on, let's have some faith that our God can turn this country around. Let's have some faith. The largest growing, we had these Wednesday nights with my friend JP teaching on cults in Canada. You know the largest growing, it's not an affiliated group, but the largest growing category of faith in Canada is atheism. Largest growing group within Canada, atheism. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for change. So Jesus says this, Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, here it is. This is prayer. Prayer, you say prayer, that wasn't prayer, he was talking to a tree. No, whenever you are speaking words of faith, it's prayer. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I love the order of events. I was an English major at Brock, and so this stuff just stands out at me. Does it stand out to you? Read this again and listen to the grammatical structure and the tense of the words. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Whatever you ask in prayer, present tense, right now, whatever you ask for right now in prayer, believe that you have received it already and it will be yours in the future. Whenever you pray, whatever you ask in prayer, present tense, believe that you have received it already. When? When you prayed for it. And it will be yours. When? When's it going to happen? In the future. Faith. What is faith? It's believing now that I already have received what I asked for in prayer because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. I place my faith not in what I see, but in what I believe. and I believe in the goodness of Jesus and his sacrifice for me. So when you pray for healing, faith means believing that you've already received your healing. And then, well, when will I get my healing? After you already believe you've got it. And when you pray for peace, faith means believing you've already received peace when you're still having the anxiety attack. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. When? Later. But I want it now. No, you have to believe that you have it now, and then you'll get it later. This is how faith works. You received the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God to wash away your sins the moment that you prayed by faith. You believe that Jesus washed you, cleansed you, made you new. You've been made perfect on the inside. When are you going to be made perfect eventually on the outside? Later. Later. We don't wait for the provision to come to believe God answers prayer. We believe he answers it when you pray. Think of Charles Mully, well-known missionary from Kenya who runs an orphanage, an amazing ministry in Kenya and also in the United States. There were times when Charles Mully would sit down looking after all of these orphans. He would sit down at the dinner table to thank God for food that they didn't have. Now, you and I mostly sit down to thank God for the food that's already there. They would pray, "Thank you, Lord, for providing us with this meal." They'd say amen, and there'd be a knock at the door and food waiting for them outside. Now, that's a different way to do groceries. Some of you would prefer that. Come on, church, it's easy to thank God for food that's in your fridge. It takes faith to thank God for the food that's not in your fridge. Easy to thank God for provision when gas is cheap. Hard to thank God. Hard to have faith. Did you know it's not harder for God to fill your tank now than it was 6 months ago? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I'm already assured. I've got what I need. It's my conviction of something that I have not yet seen. I believe right now that my God is good. My God is great. My God is my healer. My God is my savior. My God is my provider. My God is all that I need. Let me share with you a few Bible stories with prayer. Hannah received a son. You know what happened before she conceived a son? She prayed. Peter was released from prison. You know what happened before he got out of prison? He prayed. Jerusalem was under siege in 2 Kings, enemies surrounding them. And an angel of the Lord came and overcame the enemy on their behalf. Do you know what happened before all that happened? They prayed. Moses saw the glory of God. But before he saw the glory of God, he prayed. Hezekiah got 15 years added to his life. But before he got 15 years added to his life, he prayed. Daniel prayed for an interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Elisha was surrounded by enemies, prayed for the eyes of his servant to be opened. Jonah prayed from the stomach of a fish and was set free and given an opportunity to obey God. Paul and Silas were set free from jail. David is forgiven from his adultery and his murder and his lies. Jezebel prayed for God's blessings. David prayed for wisdom when women and children were taken captive. He didn't go and attack all those who took his family and children and all of his soldiers' wives and children. He stopped and he took a moment. He said, "Lord, what do you want me to do right now?" I believe the single topmost prayer in every one of our lives should be for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Because when you know the will of God, you can pray the will of God. When you know what God wants, man, you can have faith. Zechariah and Elizabeth conceived a baby, John the Baptist, but first they prayed. And the most important of all, there was a thief on a cross who asked Jesus to save him. The greatest prayer that could ever be prayed, "Jesus, will you remember me? Will you remember me when you are in your kingdom?" And a man right at the end of his life who had lived as a sinner received the grace and mercy of Almighty God because he prayed. He didn't have time to clean up his life, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't have time to turn his life around and become an upstanding citizen in the community. He simply prayed to Almighty God, forgive me of my sins. Church, I want to encourage you today, your victory may just be one prayer away. One more prayer. Do you have enough faith to just pray one more time? Just one more time. For you, for your wife, for your husband, for your family, for your health. Just one more prayer. You say, Pastor Tim, I don't know how much more faith I have. Can you find enough faith for one more prayer? Stand to your feet. And I want to invite you to take this time right now to pray. I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray, and we're going to believe that God is going to answer our prayers in the room. Whatever's on your heart, you lift it up to the Lord right now. And if you feel like you lack faith, come on, start there. Say, Jesus, give me faith. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now in this room, we praise you. That you are good and you are God. You see every need in this room. You see every issue weighing on every heart. You see every troubled marriage. You see every troubled teenager. You see every troubled child, every troubled family, every mind and heart that's filled with any degree of worry or stress, any physical ailment, Lord God, you see it. You see it. You see it. You see mental health struggles, Lord God. You see cancer. You see asthma and allergies and arthritis. Lord, we pray in this place that you would hear and answer prayers. God, bring faith into our hearts, Lord God. I believe you for miracles in this place, God. Because, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for us, for our salvation, for our healing, for our deliverance, for our peace, for our joy, and for our family. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room who is not called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. I pray, Lord God, that right now in this moment that that would be their prayer. Lord, they would humble their hearts before you and say, Jesus, take my life and make me yours. If that's you in this place today, you pray that prayer right now. Jesus, take my life and make it yours. And he will make you his son and his daughter. Lord, we thank you that we can set our faith upon your word today and not upon us. So Lord, we look to the cross in this moment. And as we prepare to come before your table and thank you for your great sacrifice, for your broken body and for your shed blood that you had broken and poured out for us, Lord, we just thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we set our mind upon the great gift of our salvation. You should have a communion cup on your seat. You can go ahead and grab that and open up the top portion there. This is a meal that we partake of as believers in Jesus. And so if you've given your life to the Lord, this is for you. If you have not yet done that, I hope that you do that this morning, and then you're welcome to partake. If that's not you this morning, we respectfully ask that you not partake. This is for those who have placed their faith in Christ, and so I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 11. Apostle Paul writes this to the church, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us, that your body was broken. Your word says by the prophet Isaiah that by your wounds, by your stripes, we are healed. That your body was broken, Father God, to provide us with healing. So Lord, I pray today for any who are sick in their body and their mind, that as they partake of the bread, Lord, that you administer strength to them, healing to their bodies. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together right now. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cup that is filled with this blessed image of your blood that was shed, so that every sin in our lives, past, present, and future, would be completely washed away. And we stand here today as a forgiven, justified, righteous people because of your blood. And so we thank you today for the forgiveness of sins. We celebrate it today as we partake in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup together right now. Paul goes on to write, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. If you don't understand what this is, the heartbeat is that you understand what this is. This is where we find our life and forgiveness and our healing and our new life. And so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. It will come for blessing. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon us in this day. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And I pray that you would reignite in us a desire to pray today. Prayers filled with faith. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us in this place. And God, I pray that you would be the greatest source of encouragement in our lives. That as we find our moments of prayer, Lord, we would know you're there, listening, waiting, longing to answer us when we pray. Faith-filled prayers attached to divine purpose in you. Lord, I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.